We have been looking at why we do the things we do in a church service. And we've taken a look at why do we preach, why do we baptize, why do we sing, why do we do communion. And this morning I want us to look at probably everybody's favorite topic. The one that people always wake up and go, oh, I hope he's talking about this morning. Why do we take up an offering? Yay! So let's just delve right into that. We've been talking about, we do some weird things. An offering's kind of a weird thing. You know, usually if you're going into a place, you get a ticket, you pay somebody, you get a ticket to get in, or you get a bill afterwards, and if you eat out or something, and you pay that. And so how many places where do we get to? We gather in with a bunch of other people, and then people come walking around with bags or plate and say, would you like to give? I mean, that's weird. We kind of, you know, are we like those guys on the street corners, you know, or the fire department sometimes when they get out their boots and collect money and stuff? It's, why do we do this weird thing? Well, let's explore that. Why do we take up an offering? We're going to look in 2 Corinthians in two chapters, kind of back and forth a little bit, and some various verses. Let me tell you what was happening so you have a sense of this. In Jerusalem, we're down the line from when Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead. The church has started. Paul has done his missionary journeys, not all of them, but he's been out there and about. And there are these churches all over the Mediterranean. But Jerusalem is facing a famine. And so somebody came up with an idea. Well, I know, let's go to these new churches out here along the Mediterranean, the Adriatic, and all that. Let's go to those new churches and let's take up an offering to send back to Jerusalem. In fact, some of these churches said, hey, we want to do this. Let us help you out in this way. And so there was kind of, you know, the way they did things as, you know, they kind of went around and said, hey, we're going to have this offering next time we come through, and you have a little time to get ready and get prepared. And so we're in that kind of intervening time. So the Corinthian church says, no, this offering is coming. But Paul's got his worries. This is a wealthy church, but a very shallow and divided church. And he's afraid that some people are going to show up for the offering, and people are going to be going, oh, you know, I left my check tablet at home. You know, I don't have my scroll here with me. I can't do anything. I'm sorry. I'll catch you next time you come back through. So he wants to talk to them about not only being prepared, but having the motivation. And so let's take a look at some of the things that he says. And we pick up at verse 12. He says, this service that you perform, you're talking about the offering, the giving that they're going to do, is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, those folks back in Jerusalem, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. Notice how he makes the connection here. You're calling on the name of Jesus. You say you believe that Jesus is Lord, but will you also act in accordance with that confession? And for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So what he's essentially saying, when you give, you're going to be meeting people's needs, and people are going to be thankful to you, and they're also going to be thankful to God for what you've done. So what he's telling us here is that offerings support ministries that change lives. They make a difference. They really, really do. Whether that's through giving to missions, and we have over 10% of our budget goes directly to supporting missionaries. And so, and those folks are out there, many of them on the field, helping, share the good news of Jesus Christ in many different places. In some places, we can't even tell you because it's a secret for them to be there, that if they were known, the country would kick them out. So we do that. We have youth and children's ministries. And Matt's going to talk to you next week about why we do youth and children's ministry. We have small groups, we have studies, we have preaching, counseling, care. We have all these things that we're able to do that impact people's lives because of your giving each week. We have this building in which we can meet, which we can open up to our community to use. I walked out yesterday afternoon. There was a family gathering in the fellowship hall for an event. I didn't recognize any of the people, but isn't that great that it's here for our community to use? Sometimes we have opportunities beyond our normal Sunday giving. Last year, you may not have known this, but last year we were, I think, blessed to be able to open up our facilities to the Boys and Girls Club of Ellisville. And while that is not necessarily a faith-based program, they are doing a good and needed work here in Ellisville. And I think it was an act of love on our part to open up the facilities to them and let them be here so that children would have a safe place where they could build positive relationships and have some opportunities and new experiences they might not have. And one of the things that Oscar, who leads the program here, told me is that each family only pays $20. But it costs them $620 a year for each child. And so they rely on donors to help them with that. And they asked if we would like to be able to give, and we said, yes, we would. And so what we're going to do this morning is have a time. On your way out this morning, there'll be some young people with basketballs, and you can give a special offering in there, whatever you'd like to do. We're going to talk about how much we should give on things here in just a little bit. But you could do that. You can also, you'll see a little bit, there's some information about how to give online or text to giving this morning if you didn't bring the cash or check with you to do it. But because we've come up with some different mechanisms for this. But the key is that as we're doing this, that we're looking, how do we share love with our community? It's one of the things I really want us to be known for as a congregation. There's another way that you can help next week, as Troy mentioned, is the chili cook-off. And you can help in a number of ways, because that's a fundraiser for our youth to go to the Christ in Youth Summer Conference this summer in June, I believe. And you can do one of two things. One, you can make a pot of chili and bring it. And what I understand people do, you buy tickets and you give the tickets as your way of voting for whatever chili you like. And all you have to do is say, this is not Troy's chili, and let's just all pile in and do that. I mean, we don't care. Open up a can, just toss it in there, and just say, this is the one that's going to be Troy, and we can do that. So bring some chili, eat some chili, vote on some chili, but come out and have a good time. It's going to be right after church. But that's another way. It's a different kind of offering, but it is a way to be givers. Here's something we need to remember. He says in verse 6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And that's a farming idea here. That, you know, if you put five corn kernels in the ground, corn seeds in the ground, what are you going to get? Are you going to get 100 corn stalks? No. At best, you're going to get five. But you might lose one. One might not even germinate. One might come up and something will eat at it. So the more seeds you put in the ground, the more stalks that come up. And we know that each stalk has its own ear of corn, you know, that's got all those kernels there. So you get even more. So the more you sow, the more you reap at the end. Now, let's kind of talk about how this gets used and abused by certain people. Wealth and prosperity preachers will use this to say, if you give to me, all of your problems will go away. And it's amazing how audacious they can be in their claims. And they take money for themselves and they buy their jets and their mansions and everything else. And they leave people hurting, but they all make it, well, it's a matter of faith. And they tap into that desire to overcome your financial or health problems or something to say, but may it's about if you give to me, your life will be better. And I want you to keep in mind, that is not what we're saying, and that is not what the scripture is promising. Because what he's simply saying here in this verse is that when we give, our offerings push back against our own greed that can be there. You know, each of us, we can be like those seagulls in Finding Nemo. If you remember that scene where they're all, mine, 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 mine. We're all looking, that's my stuff. It belongs to me. Our inner two-year-old comes out and suddenly says, that's mine. I know I wasn't playing with it, but it's mine. Don't look at it because it's mine. I mean, never touch it again, but if you think about touching it, I want to remind you, it's mine. And so we have this idea that these things are ours. And what did Jesus say? Wherever our treasure is, that's where our hearts are. And so what are we treasuring? Where are we placing our hearts? And so we have to all push back against this greed. You know what it's like. Suddenly, you hear about it, you're going to get a check that you hadn't planned on to something already, you're spending it. You know, I wonder if I could get with this or that. You're already down the road. Haven't even got your tax refund yet, probably, and you've already got it spent. And so what we do when we give, we push back against greed, and we build our generosity muscle up. Now he goes on to say here, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. One in the Jewish faith, and their thing is, first at that time, one of the most righteous things you could do would be to give to the poor. He says they just kind of freely gave. They scattered their seed. You know, just out there helping, making a difference. And he says this, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Now here's, notice what he's saying here, because this is a verse that gets used and abused. Will increase your store, your harvest, and they turn that into material things, but notice what he's saying, the harvest of your righteousness. That your righteousness increases. He says, you will be enriched in every way. Now notice that, a lot of people stop, you'll be enriched in every way, and there's a lot of different ways you can be enriched. It's not just about finances. But notice why he says why. So that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Basically what he's saying, you won't be able to outspend God. You won't have to be worry about going bankrupt. You'll be okay. Because what God is looking for is not people to bless and make prosperous for their own sake. What he's looking for is people who are willing to be funnels, earthly funnels, to get money needed to where it can make a difference in people's lives. And so that's one of the things that we have to ask ourselves. Am I willing to be one of those people? Now what we're saying here, what he's also telling us, is that giving recognizes God as provider. He is our provider. It is so easy for us to say to ourselves, you know, I work hard. Cue the Donna Summer song. I work hard for the money. Okay. You know, I work hard for my money. I deserve what I have. This is all about me. But who made you? Who gives you air to breathe in? Who choreographed your DNA so you can do the different types of work that you do? Who makes all this possible? Job said, the one who gives is also the one who takes away. We have what we have. Ultimately, God, we either look to ourselves and see ourselves as the master of our fates and one who makes everything happen, or we look to see that God is there as our shepherd, providing what we need. Now, we are commanded to work in order to provide for ourselves, but he enables us to do that work. And how many times have we been looking for work? Has he helped us find a job to do what we need to do? And it goes on a little bit more. And he says, since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Now, I think he's kind of playing on them just a little bit, because they saw themselves as people really excelling. He says, oh, you're these excellers? Well, why don't you also make sure you excel in this fashion as well. So what we see is that offerings become for us, giving becomes for us a spiritual exercise. It's a way to develop ourselves, to grow ourselves, to mature ourselves in the faith. And we don't do it by just sitting still, by hanging on to things. We do it by exercising, by giving. As I said, we build that generosity muscle up. We learn to release things. We learn to trust the Lord more. Our faith in him increases. And that has a ripple effect through the rest of our lives. So there's a question then that we often come down to. How much should I give? What am I supposed to give? How much is enough? Is there too little? Is there too much? How much should I give? I'm always... reminded, you know, we ask that because we're saying, if I put something out there, is God going to want even more and more and more? What's enough? Some of you may remember this, really dating myself here, I know, but you remember the Jetsons. You know, some of you laugh, and, you know, for younger folks, Google it, you know, I'm sure it's out there somewhere. But in the beginning credits, George is dropping off all the people and he's giving some money to each of the kids. And then his wife is there and he takes out some money out of his wallet to hand to her. And she just takes the wallet. And all the men in the congregation go, I know that, felt that, okay. And we're afraid that if I do that, I take something out, God's just going to take my whole wallet from me. So I got to keep it close. But look what he says in verse 7. Let's give you a little freedom here. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. What you have decided in your heart to give. Now, this is a principle actually through Scripture of people of faith praying, asking with God, wrestling through this and saying, God, what do you want me to do? When they were building the temple, that's what they did. How much should we give? What he wanted people to ask themselves, what do you want me to do here in this matter? You see, it's so easy for us if we just get, you know, a coupon, a ticket, a bill that says, look, here's what you owe. All right. How can we knock this down a little bit? But we like that. We like knowing exactly what it is. But there's something that happens. Wait a minute. You're going to leave this up to me? You ever been in that moment you try to buy something? How much is that? Well, what do you want to pay? I love it when car dealers ask that question. Well, how much are you asking for this car? Well, what are you thinking of paying? A dollar? They never liked that joke. This idea, this concept that we have to wrestle, that there isn't a pat answer for us. Just do this. That pushes us in our faith. That makes us grapple with the kingdom of heaven and its principles in our lives. So, get this. You ready for it? There is no required amount. I want you to think about that for a moment. There is no required amount. What you have decided in your heart to give. Scripture says this. He says in chapter 8, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. And the principle there is that God views giving as proportional. It's proportional. He doesn't expect a millionaire and a person on minimum wage to give the same amount. You know, if you go to see a movie, they don't say, how much do you make? They just charge everybody the same. If you go out to eat, they don't come around to you and say, well, how much do you make? Oh, okay, your bill's only going to be this much. It's all the same. But with God, he takes a look and understands that some people are able to earn more money. Other people have different kinds of jobs. And incomes vary. So that's why we have these a couple of things that we see in Scripture. One is the principle of the tithe. Now, I want you to understand that this, the tithe is not a New Testament commandment. There's nothing within the New Covenant, the New Testament, that commands the giving of 10% of your income. It's just not there. That is an Old Covenant teaching and command, part of that law. Now, some people will say, well, then that's where we start and we go up from there. I'll let you wrestle that one out. But I think there's something else going on here and that pushes us even more to say, okay, how much can I give? How can I keep pushing myself to be a more generous person? Doesn't all have to be here. I want you to get that. I'm not talking about trying to get more money for Ellettsville Christian Church. You may say, I'm going to give so much to the church. I'm going to give so much to some missionaries that I know specifically. There are some good things happening around my community that I want to be a part of. The key is that you are developing as a Christ follower your generosity muscle. That you're learning to allow God to use you to make a difference in other people's lives in one form or another. But the principle of the tithe is one in which it's proportional. So one person, somebody makes a lot, somebody makes a little, their 10% look a lot different. There's another one that we keep in mind. Jesus is at the temple and they're doing the temple offering and people are walking by. And you can see them and you can actually tell what they were giving. And they see all these people and he notices that, you know, some wealthy people are coming by and they're giving an amount and it's, he doesn't have a problem with that, but he notices they're just kind of giving out of their wealth. It's not a big sacrifice to them. But then here comes this widow. I always, when you think widow, you know, oh, a little old widow lady. I don't know why they're always little, but, you know, here comes this widow lady. She's coming up there. She's got two mites, you know, just a couple of coins. And she puts those in. Now, you might look at what these guys did and say, look at the amount of money they put in. Let's put their name on a plaque somewhere. Let's get their name out there. She, two little mites. What's that? But Jesus said she gave all she had to give. And that made all the difference to him. And so we have this idea that our giving is proportional. Don't worry about what other people are doing, how much or how little they give. This is about you and the Lord figuring this one out. Now, one of the things that we do and we take from there is, you know, how do I do this? You know, well, let me just encourage you to be thinking about this, about, you know, one, planning ahead. That's what Paul is trying to get them to do, to plan ahead. When you do your budget, annual budget, or whenever you do your budget, do you sit down? And if you don't know what a budget is, come see us. We'll help you figure that out. Google it. Go to Financial Peace University. Do something that can help you. Because I know when we talk about giving, sometimes people, they are They are wrestling with so much debt. Debt has just taken over our society. We operate on debt. And when people hear about giving, they just, oh, I don't have any margin in my life. I don't have any room for any more. I'm just barely getting by on what I have. And some of that is because we borrow and pay later, and it just builds up and adds up, and we don't have enough. So you might do something like Financial Peace University, but there are all other resources out there that you can learn about how to get out of debt and how to manage your money. Because remember, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And so learning to manage money is something that is a spiritual exercise. Jesus himself talked a lot more about money because of the way it holds, gets a hold of our heart and our souls, than he did about heaven and hell combined. So getting a handle on this, but determining, you know, in your annual, your budget, you know, hey, okay, here's what I'm going to do for God. Now, oftentimes what we do is we say, I want to do this, I got to do this, I want to do this, I got to do this. We get through, oh, here's how much I have left. I guess I'll give that. Instead of making a plan to say, here's where I want to be. Now, you may not be able to be there right now. You may say, you've got to pay down some debts. You've got to get some things out of the way. But you set yourself a goal and say, here's where I want to be. Because what I want to be is what God says is a good thing, and that is to be a generous person. And that's ultimately what we're talking about. How can we be generous people? Because if we can learn how to be generous with our money, we'll learn how to be generous with our time. We'll learn how to be generous with our talent. We'll learn how to be generous with grace. It's about turning the soul inside out and being the kind of people, the stewards of what God has given us, so that we can be light that shines brightly on a hill, that we can be salt for this world around us. The question often for us, though, whenever we are challenged on any idea and we think, okay, I want to move, I want to make a change, is where do I start? You may remember a commercial from a few years ago. I think it was a car dealership type of commercial. And people like, yeah, I need a new car. I want to sell my car. Where do I start? And magically, this line, this little starting line, would show up in front of them and lead them to this car dealership. And so we're often asking, where do I start? Let me give you a verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord. And then, by the will of God, also to us. They gave themselves first to the Lord. If you haven't given yourself to the Lord, none of this makes any sense. This is just a guy talking about money. Just another guy asking for money. So let's start there. Because the place to start is with your relationship with the Lord. And when you have that, then this isn't about some guy talking about money. What this conversation becomes about is about you as a follower of Jesus and being a steward of what he has provided for you in your life and how you will use those resources. Again, it's not about Ellisville Christian Church. It's about you and how you interact in the kingdom of heaven and with the larger community. But where we start, by what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, about giving your life to Jesus. We talked about why we baptize, and we baptize because we believe that starting point, not the end point, the starting point, is to call on the name of Jesus as you're buried into the waters of baptism and being raised to a new life. Giving yourself over to the Lord. And this morning, if you're ready to do that, if you're ready to start there, we invite you to come forward this morning during our invitation time. Or during our later at offering time, we're talking about going to be singing about surrendering all. If you realize I haven't surrendered at all, come up then. Or after the service, come up then. You know, whenever you realize I'm ready to do this, come on up. If you're already an immersed believer and you decided, I want to be a part of us, I want to be a part of what's happening here at Ellettsville Christian Church, you can come on up and just remind us of your confession of faith and place your membership here with us and join us in what we're trying to do, being a light to our community. Or maybe you're already a member, you're already immersed, you're already a part of this, but you've been kind of holding back. Your name's on the line, but not the rest of you. Or maybe it once was, and then you step back a little bit, and you're ready to step back up, step back in. Let me just encourage you, as we sing the song, and these songs of surrender and giving over our lives, to use this as a time to start where you need to start. As the team comes up, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And as they're doing it, why don't you just bow your heads? And you just have a little conversation with God for a moment, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Lord, we come to your throne of grace right now. We come with boldness and we come with confidence because you said we could. And Lord, we come asking that your Spirit speak to each one of us. Each of us needs to hear something this morning. Maybe we've been wrestling with greed, wrestling about hanging on to mine. Maybe we've been wrestling with trying to determine, am I really going to be a follower of Jesus in all aspects of my life? Or am I just going to do things the way I want to do them? Father, we need to hear from you. And we believe that you're here with us now. Lord, speak to us. Because some of us we're just wrestling with letting go and trusting you. We've got our walls built up. We don't want anybody to see on the other side of the wall. We're scared. We're proud. We're angry. We need you to break through and help us, Father. Help us to have the courage to step out, to step in, to step up, and to be a part what's going on in your kingdom. Lead us, Father. Speak to us. Help us to start by giving ourselves, first of all, to you and then to this body. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.